brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting because a prophecy from Isaiah is fulfilled in our scripture today. The prophecy was the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, who have seen darkness, will see a great light. Now, what was the darkness they were in? Oh, you see, under Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian king, he came in. Remember, Zebulun and Naphtali had the northern kingdom rejected God and his word, had run off after God. So God sent in Tiglath-Pileser, he came in, he led them away in chains with fish hooks in their mouth. Okay, make sure they didn't run. That was the land of darkness. Darkness because they were dark. They didn't hold the light of the gospel. The light is Jesus Christ. Remember, John? In him was light, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is the light that shines into the world. And that light comes to us because John the Baptist was out there preparing the way. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when John was captured, arrested by Herod and put into prison, Jesus then went out to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is in the northern area of Naphtali. Just above that is Zebulun. Those are the tribes. Remember, the tribe of Israel. So, and it says in our text, Jesus went up and down the coast and preached. So even though he didn't lodge in Zebulun, he was still that area, but he was preaching and teaching. So that light had come to these people that had rejected God, and now the true gospel is coming among them. And what does Jesus preach? The same thing that John the Baptist did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the light Jesus wants us to know. Now, repentance, we have a common understanding of repentance. And that is, we come to church, we open up the hymnal, I confess to you, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Kind of, that's a public confession, right? It's kind of a general confession. We see that as turning from sins and then trying to follow Jesus in faithfulness. But Jesus also offers a different definition of a call, in that it's a conversion. God calls us. In other words, we're walking this way with the world. And I don't care what society is, if you're walking with the world, you're not walking with Christ. If you're walking with the world, God says, I want you to turn 180 degrees and follow me. That is our call in the Christian church. Not follow our culture, follow Jesus. And that's hard sometimes to do, isn't it? We want to turn from the lostness, the unbelief, the separation of God from his promises, and return trusting God's promises he's written to us in Holy Scripture and believe them because those promises have been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But the core proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is a call. But see, you've got to understand that for a minute. Because we think of a kingdom, we think of like the British Empire, United States, Canada, Iran. Oh, the kingdom of the world, as a noun. But Jesus is kind of using this more as a verb. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of what? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't actually have a physical place here on earth, but is in the hearts and minds of every believer in Christ. And that kingdom of heaven is where God is reigning with you and with our fellow brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. So God broke into the history of the world through Jesus. He brings the restoration of creation, miracles, preaching, and salvation, because it's all in Jesus. We shift from seeing things in a future promise to a present reality in Jesus. But Jesus calls us to discipleship. He says to the disciples, follow me. So he calls Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, all by the Sea of Galilee. In other words, simple fishermen. Notice that God doesn't call the great theologian, the biggest, the greatest of all people. He calls simple fishermen to follow him. It's a direct invitation. follow me.
I'll make you fish for the men.
Now, I don't know how many of you have been fishing, but you go out and fish, you know what you're going to catch. You bait the line, you throw it out, and maybe you'll go for a certain area, maybe you'll try a lure that's good for the trout. You throw it out, you reel it in, and you may get some trout, you may not. Do you know which trout you're going to get? No. That's what it's like going out. You fish everywhere you go, because that's what God wants us to do. But as you're fishing, we send out the gospel, and we allow people to respond to it. We will catch the truth, that hook, that truth of Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples heard that call. He said, come follow me. It's interesting. Always interesting. Immediately, they get up, and they follow Jesus. Think about it. When Jesus came to you and said, follow me, would you? Leave everything behind and still follow him? But I think something more is going on here because, you know, faith comes by the Holy Spirit. If I see the Holy Spirit working in here, of course, Jesus has authority. He spoke as one having authority. But I think, wow, what was going on when Jesus says, hey, come follow me, and they go, okay.
Probably the love he gave off. That's what it probably was, too.
Very much could be. Well, my point is, it's not a self-generated faith. It's not something they made in themselves. It's in response to the authority of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit who brings us all faith. That call to repentance, that call to turn around, that proclamation of God's reign, all by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a unique role. Call to repentance. But Jesus wanted to literally follow him in ministry. They witnessed his miracles. They suffered his death, the resurrection. They had a special insight here that we don't have. And later they're sent out to preach the gospel. They go out for the disciples. But there's a challenge God offers. And that is, our modern world, people call ordinary people disciples. The disciples' dramatic event of calling compared to daily life today, really that different. I know. A lot of us don't want to go out and witness, do we? What happens if I witness to somebody? They might make fun of me. Or if I just simply talk about Jesus, they might get mad at me. So really, we don't witness because we're afraid. We're more afraid of the world than we are of following Jesus. The world we're afraid of, Jesus and Mr. Fear have lost some respect. But we look at the things and go, gee, how do we know what to do? Because the reality is, as adults, especially the older we get, the narrower our vision is. We do that to protect ourselves. So our vision gets narrowed. We don't notice all the stuff going around us. The hurting people. You go to the store, and there's the cashier, and she's maybe having a tear in her eye. We don't even notice. Much less, do we ask her? Do you want to be pregnant? Or when you're talking to your grandchild, you stop and say, hey, let me share this Bible story with you. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. You're with your family, and you notice they're sitting down for dinner, and they're not eating. They're not saying a prayer. Say, hey, Kevin, can I say a prayer for everybody? Witnessing Jesus isn't that hard, but notice how it's done in ordinary ways. You see, quite often, modern Christian experience feels ordinary, repetitive. Lord's Supper, Bible study, back to the life, work, parents, appointments, shoulders. There was a man, this is from Pastor Myers in Victoria, Texas. He said he was talking with his Christian right after church. Not sure how far out. But anyway, after Christmas. And then he goes, I have one complaint about modern Christianity. You know what he's thinking of? No, as a nurse, I was told, well, you can't talk about Jesus. People will find him. That's what they actually taught. Oh, you're not allowed to do that. A lot of companies are saying that. There are people who say, oh, you can talk talk about church, but God, but only in church. But in all the mundane things that we do, he says,
the problem I have with Christianity
is just so ordinary. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not just from unbelief, but from a different position. Viewing life not merely as mundane, but all of life as an opportunity to share our faith with others. Viewing life from God's perspective. Return the ordinariness of everyday life into an unbelievable, wonderful opportunity. Gospel. Talk about Jesus. And, you know, we have the immature word of the disciples in. Yes, they live with Jesus. They only have the Old Testament. Now we have their writings, don't we? Things that we can share with other people. And so Jesus calls us to read all of Scripture, to listen to the apostolic witness, to baptize, preach, and teach, and believe the gospel. Hear that out. Christ comes to us in ordinary means, doesn't he? Preaching and teaching. The Bible says, how can they believe if nobody even talks to them? Right? How can they even talk to them if nobody says? Preaching through the Word of God. That's how they hear the Word. Now, it's interesting because I was thinking of going ahead and putting it on the screen today, and I didn't have time. But I'll tell you about it because I was online. This guy walks up. I mean, they look scary. They're all decked out in their makeup and everything, black, you know, kind of dazed, and different colors and name marks and all this. This Christian walks up to him and says, hey, where are you going, heaven or hell? What do you think they answer? Did they say that? Yes. They go, I'm not a very good person. I guess I'm going to hell. Just try to remember to die because I'm going to hell. How would you like to find out if you can go to heaven? They just, you know, Jesus, we're nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Jesus died for all of us, so I'm making a long story short. He witnessed to them, and then he invited them. Do you want to believe the gospel? And then he prayed with them. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we gather as a body of Christ. You know what that's what church means? Gathering. We're gathered together as Scripture commands us to do. But there's a key difference in our calling. Because we're not to leave everything to itinerant preaching. We're called to use our vocation, our very existence as a parent, child, spouse, a worker. Ordinary cross from salvation. Ordinary faithfulness in daily life becomes the church of God throughout the whole world. There are examples of discipleship. Also, think about this, changing diapers. Serving our neighbors. every ordinary act, life that God has called us to live, calls us to serve. So we want to live each day as a disciple in our ordinary vocation. We want to faithfully celebrate the ordinary